This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, you're listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Lynn Mark, and today on the show with me, I have Benjamin Vusho, President of Asia at Sephora. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Benjamin.
Thank you for inviting us.
So let's just start it off with Sephora's digital strategies, because I understand that this is going to be a big part of Sephora's strategy going forward. Perhaps you could tell us a little bit about it.
Sure. Well, I guess that digital at Sephora has always been at the heart of whatever we've been doing. We were a pioneer in launching e-commerce back 20 years ago when we launched Sephora in North America. And ever since, we've been expanding internationally and in Asia in particular. We've placed digital at the heart of what we were doing. We believe that digital has been an incredible way to increase brand awareness, but also to reach out to new customers. And in an area of change of distribution channels, digital is an enabler to creating a true omni-channel strategy, which we dub at Sephora as our true retail strategy.
And you've had quite a number of innovations, particularly when it comes to your app, because Sephora was, relatively late to the mobile app game. But since then, you have things like where customers or users of the app are allowed to try on the makeup products that they are interested in to kind of get a picture of how it would actually look on their face. What else do you have in line for in terms of developments for this app, for the app?
I think something maybe interesting to explain to the auditors today is that we embraced innovation and entrepreneurship very early in Sephora. And 5 years ago, we made an acquisition of a startup that was based in Singapore that really helped us to leap into the world of digital and leap into the world of innovation. What this means is that today we have internally as capabilities, engineers, amazing creators and incredible talent who are embracing innovation and who are always trying new things. To answer your question, one of the things that we are very proud of to be launching across the region and in Malaysia in particular is our ability to connect our customers' history of purchases with a physical experience. So when you come to the store, our BA is able to ask you for your Sephora loyalty member number and track and help you make recommendations based on your recent purchases or based into the interest that you may have had. And that's really how we are able to blend the data that we collect from our digital capabilities and bringing it also live with physical and experience as well as a very genuine and very generous advice from our beauty associates that we have on the floor.
So are there any other such acquisitions in the pipeline that you can tell us about?
not particularly, no.
Okay. Now, I would be remiss in talking about digitalization without also mentioning the data breach that happened in July last year. Some reports speculated that data of as many as 3.7 million Sephora customers was affected. What kind of data do you collect from your customers?
We collect all the data that the consumers are willing to give. It's all about consent, as you know. There's a lot of regulations, and Sephora is very proud to make sure that we are compliant with all the local regulations when it comes to data collection. So it ranges from name to all the different data points that the consumer is willing to share.
And what have you done since the data breach to assure customers and consumers that this isn't going to happen again? What kind of other security measures has Sephora put in place?
Well, we've elevated our security protocols in quite a significant way. We've also strengthened our internal security capabilities with the hiring of a chief security officer for data, as well as putting additional protocols, which I think we will continue doing, whether or not we are being targeted in the future. The digital world is becoming more complex, and it is our duty to be at the forefront of protecting our consumers and bringing all the necessary means to avoid any potential mishaps.
All right. And now, Benjamin, earlier you also spoke about e-commerce and omni-channel marketing.
Yes.
And this is something that is growing at an exponential rate in this day and age. So how is Sephora aiming to stay competitive when you have players like big platforms like Amazon and now even Lazada, you know, smaller platforms like Zalora also coming into the e-commerce market for beauty and cosmetics products?
I think true retail is really what we are focusing. And true retail is really the ability to combine digital reach as well as precision of data and blending it with physical retail. You were referring to a lot of pure players that are entering the world of prestige beauty. I think it would not be a lie to say that all the pure players are dying to have the physical network of Sephora. This is where we are able to offer a very, very unique experience that differentiates us from pure players online as well as traditional retailers. And this convergence of digital and physical is really something quite extraordinary and can unleash a lot of power, which we call our beauty power. So we believe that this is this ability to constantly think one customer is what will differentiate us and what will continue to make us the leader in the prestige beauty.
So where would you say is going to be your focus going forward? Is it on expanding your retail footprint, as in your brick and mortar stores, or will it be focusing on your e-commerce side of the business?
I think in Malaysia, we have now 21 stores, and we believe that the network is pretty sizable, and we're not foreseeing massive expansion plans, at least for the next 12 months. It's more about consolidation, upgrading, and our passion for digital and our passion for e-commerce remains very, very important. And we believe that there is a lot of opportunities for us to grow and to continue gaining market share on e-commerce. Again, strong of this experience that you can buy anytime, anywhere, on any device, and combine that with a physical experience at your leisure.
Okay, because I mean, there is the growing concern over the future of retail and brick and mortar stores, right? Because as consumers wake up to the convenience of online shopping and delivery to their homes, I mean, Amazon Prime reports amazing numbers. Like more than half of the Amazon Prime consumers have bought beauty and cosmetics products over their platform. And Sephora's e-commerce side of the business, just on an anecdotal level, you hear complaints of deliveries and sometimes mismatches between pricing, for example, that happen on the Sephora app and the Sephora website versus what is happening in stores. So how do you plan to tighten that experience going forward, especially considering this shift towards the emphasis on retail, e-commerce?
Let me comment first on the future of retail. I think retail is not dead. Bad retail is dead. But good retail has a long life. And
how do you classify good retail?
And we take pride in you know, good retail, we believe, is, you know, what we're doing here in Fahrenheit 88 is creating an amazing experience, having a wonderful product assortment, and more importantly, having the passion of our beauty associates willing to share their beauty knowledge, which we refer to as our beauty authority. So we are committed to doing good retail. We're committed to doing excellent retail and providing an experience. If we're able to blend it also with other touch points that Sephora can offer, from digital, where it is reaching out in advertising, or inviting our consumers to log on to our app or the different channels that we have, it's even better. When it comes to can we do better? I think we're always willing to improve. There is this element of entrepreneurship and this element of discovery and innovation that is at the heart of Sephora, at Sephora's culture, we want to listen to our consumers. Every feedback is important, and if we can continue to improve our delivery standards, if we can continue to improve our experience in stores, we are committed to do that.
Out of curiosity, just what's the sales distribution like between between online shopping and sales in your brick and mortar stores?
Well, I would say that our e-commerce penetration ranges from anything from 15% to 35%, depending on the countries that we operate. I think that this is something that will continue to evolve in the coming years, and I'm proud to say that Malaysia is performing very well in terms of balancing the distribution channels between e-commerce and retail.
What's your target for e-commerce penetration then?
I think you know, in the range of 25 to 35% is a good ratio for retailer like us, and we strongly believe that we have opportunities to continue to grow our e-commerce penetration in this market, and you're right to say that e-commerce is a combination of great product assortment, great technology, as well as a strong supply chain and logistics. And we're committed to continuously improving that.
All right. And we'll be discussing more about Sephora's expansion plans in just a little while. I've been speaking with Benjamin Vuchot, President of Asia at Sephora. And this has been The Breakfast Grill. Stay tuned for more BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking with Benjamin Vuchot, President of Asia at Sephora. Now, Benjamin, Sephora has very ambitious plans for expansion within the Asian region. For example, you're back in Hong Kong for the first time in almost 9 years, or at least you reopened in April of 2019. And you do have more plans for other stores within the next 3 years in Hong Kong. Why did you exit the city in the first place, and what has changed that makes you think that coming back into it will be more successful this time around?
Well, Sephora today in Asia is going through an amazing expansion. At the end of 2019, we have 350 stores across 11 markets, and we were very, very proud and excited to opened three markets in 2019. Number one was New Zealand, where we opened our first store in Auckland in July. Secondly, we re-entered the market of Hong Kong with an opening in IFC store in Central with great success. And the last market that we've opened in October was Korea. We have now an organization that is able to continue to serve beautiful consumers around our countries, but also is ready to embrace new territories and to deliver also the support that is needed when you open the market. And there's no doubt that our capabilities when we opened Hong Kong almost 10 years ago are very different to the organizational capabilities we have today across Asia. And we thought that it was a good time for us to re-enter this market, which has always been an important market. The landscape of Asia has changed dramatically. The consumer has changed dramatically over the course of 10 years. And this is what inspires us to continue to grow. We have a lot of growth coming out from China. China is, we've been able to double the business in the last 3 years in China alone. And this growth in China has not only been from a physical expansion, but also by being able to tap into the incredible digital tsunami that has happened in China with the likes of Alibaba and the likes of JD.com.
But this is a fair amount of capex to be pouring into Hong Kong, right? So, in addition to the store that you have that you've opened up in Causeway Bay, I believe you have six more planned in the next 3 years. Mm-hmm. Now, what kind of a sales growth are you seeing in Hong Kong that would support this? Because Sephora has been charting very impressive numbers in India. So you've got a compound annual growth rate in India of over 60%. But what kind of a similar growth path are you seeing in Hong Kong that would support your plans there?
I would say to you that we are committed to the future of Hong Kong, and we are committed to our success in Hong Kong. Our plan is a solid plan. We are happy with the initial results that we've had with our two opening in 2019. You have to remember also that the events in Hong Kong have not made the life of retail particularly smooth and easy. And our plan to have a network of 6 to 8 stores in the next few years has not changed.
Is even taking into account that there are some estimates that say Hong Kong won't return to peace for another 2 years.
I think that we are committed to the long term development of any market where we are entering, and I think having a presence of 2 stores and planning 1 to 2 stores opening per year for the next 3 years is a reasonable growth and is something that we are able to cope with, given that we have also a very ambitious plan in China alone. In China, mm-hmm. we will open between 30 to 35 stores every year for the next 3 years, as well as continuing supporting the growth in all our other markets in Asia.
And India is also the market that I'm particularly interested in terms of Sephora's expansion and what you're planning to do there, because I think we had some numbers that Sephora is targeting the equivalent of $140 million in sales by 2022.
I won't be able to comment on sales and very precise market growth, but I can tell you that we've been in India for many years now. Mm-hmm. We have developed a good network first in the key cities in India, in Delhi, in Mumbai, and in Bangalore. And in 2019, we started reaching out also to other cities, trying to offer to the Indian customers more access to Sephora. This is combined also with a rollout of our e-commerce strategy in India, and you know that India is probably the future of e-commerce in Asia is going to be coming from India. It's coming out of a very low base and a very complex environment to evolve, but we're very excited about continuing to penetrate that market and continuing to build the brand awareness. Our vision, as you know, for Sephora is to build the most loved beauty community, and this is one place where we think we have a lot of potential and already a very, very strong success. I think in India we probably have to be a bit more cautious about where to open, because we want to be there. We want to be successful and we want to be there for the long term.
And because you do target a very specific kind of subset of the demographic, right? Because you are targeting young income generating women with a certain amount of spending power, because Sephora is positioned as at the more premium end of the cosmetics industry, right?
I think we are, I'll refer to this, building a beauty community and the most loved beauty community. And in every market where we go, we try to cater to our consumers with the best assortment and the best offer we have. I'll give you an example of our recent opening in Korea, where we have in Korea probably one of the most exclusive assortments of indie Korean brands, Korean beauty brands. And it's very, very interesting to see how the Korean customers, who are probably one of the most sophisticated group of customers, is coming to Sephora, of course, to see the international brands that Sephora has been able to bring to the market, but also is keen to celebrating the Korean beauty phenomenon and to support the indie brands that come from Korea. And that's the power of Sephora in building this beauty authority and this place, a repository for an exchange of all beauty trends and all beauty players in the market. And in India, to come back to your question, I think we are adjusting our assortment as and when the consumer is evolving as well, and it's a fantastic journey, and it's a very great source of inspiration for all of us.
But since you spoke about indie brands, what kind of work is Sephora doing, perhaps to support local brands in other countries where you operate outside of Korea? Because Korea is seeing a great surge of popularity for their beauty products. But what about, say, local brands here in Malaysia? Sephora seems to be well positioned to serve as almost an incubator platform.
Sure, sure, sure.
Are there any plans in place for local brands here?
I mean, it's always been at the heart of Sephora to embrace the community and to offer opportunities to more independent brands. Of course, the success of Sephora North America would not be celebrated today if Sephora North America had not offered to so many of what today are blockbuster brands the opportunity to launch in the stores. In Malaysia, we're very, very proud to have 2 local brands that are available in our stores and that are catering also to the Malay community. And we are embracing the I think we call it the halal formulation also, that is compliant with the with this community.
Is that something else that you're going to be expanding into, the halal market?
And I think it's definitely something that we think is important for our consumers, and if we can support it by bringing by opening the platform to that. In China, we also work with Chinese local brands and giving them the opportunity to be alongside international players in a very successful way. And this is something that we will continue doing. It's not we're doing it in Korea, and Korea has a lot of innovation. China is becoming the sea beauty. The Chinese beauty is becoming an amazing phenomenon. And as a beauty player and as at the center of this beauty community, we want Sephora to be a great player and a great supporter of entrepreneurship.
What about sustainability? Because this is one of the biggest buzzwords in most in investing, yes, in clothing, in most retail segments nowadays. Yes. Yes. So how much of a priority is this for Sephora? And I understand that while, say, the Sephora collection, you know, Sephora right. itself has tried to introduce sustainable measures in terms of your logistics and your supply chain. But what about when it comes to the brands that live under your umbrella? How much of a priority do you make sustainability when it comes to them?
I think it's our duty to be able to respond to the trends and to show our commitment to sustainability. It's doing it with Sephora Collection is probably a demonstration of this commitment, and it's also a brand being our private label that we have much more control over. So you will see that the recent launch of Sephora Good Skincare Collection is using recyclable plastics for its packaging. We also offer a lot of products without outer packaging to reduce waste, and this is something that we want to show and to lead by example. We have great collaborations with all the beauty brands around the world. It's a concern that I think is shared amongst all the all those leaders, and we're constantly trying to emulate and to work together to spare that yeah. effort in sustainability. And you were referring to our logistics. You're referring to also the way we are able to reduce our energy consumption or embrace new technologies. In China alone, we deliver all the major cities with electric vehicles. We have equipped now in all our stores around the world, and in Asia in particular, with LED lighting. So we are, you know, every step is important, and some are big, some are maybe considered less big steps, but I think our commitment towards sustainability is very important, and we will continue to be part of this movement and to support it in every way we can.
In speaking to local brands, is this something also that you emphasize? Because I can imagine Sephora would be in a good place to take on that responsibility to say that you have to be sustainable in order to come out into our stable, right?
We have a say when we work with brands that want to come and work with us on an exclusive basis, that we bring them in the kitchen. And in the kitchen, there's a lot of conversations, a lot of support and guidance that we give. And I think sustainability is very important. And we try to be an agent of change in that sense, and to embrace that. So definitely.
Well, thank you very much for joining us this morning, Benjamin. It's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you for supporting us.
I've been speaking with Benjamin Vuchot, a president of Asia at Sephora. This has been The Breakfast Grill, and I'm Lynn Mark, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.